welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this week's episode, we have our weekly check-ins. We have part two of our throwback special segment where I tell my story from the mid-90s. And we wrap it up with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Let's get started. Hi, welcome to episode 124. Laura, hello, hello.
Hi, Shauna.
Hi, how are you doing all the way over there in Pasadena?
All the way over in Pasadena. Mm-hmm. I'm good. We're good. So I am currently 23 weeks pregnant. Mm-hmm. And holy shit, the nesting urge is like ramping up.
Oh,
like,
wow.
No one's business this week. Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's partly because you're just stuck at home this time around and it's just like you're seeing every little thing? I don't even have nesting instinct and constantly I'm like, oh my God, that thing needs to be organized. That closet sucks. So I can only imagine how you're feeling.
Yeah, it didn't help that one day this week during nap time, I decided to check out this new show on Netflix called The Home Edit. Do you know about this show?
Oh, I haven't caught that yet, but I have heard of it. Tell me more.
Basically a closet organizing show.
Oh my God. I love that that even exists.
Right.
Like, this day and age. Yeah.
Apparently these two women, they started this business and they are like really big Instagram stars. I had never heard of them before though. Mm-hmm. And they, one of their shticks is that they like organize everything in rainbow order.
Oh my God.
Which is very satisfying.
Oh, that is like my dream home right there.
So anyway, one day during nap, I was like, I need to just chill. I'm going to turn on some mindless Netflix and fold laundry, right? Mm-hmm. And I turn on the Home Edit and they were organizing Reese Witherspoon's closet.
Oh, that's big time. Okay.
Yeah, they do like one famous person and one non-famous person every episode.
So one famous, one nobody. Okay, got it.
Exactly.
So I would qualify for that show.
You would qualify as the nobody. Yeah, definitely.
That's so harsh, Laura.
You know what? We're really good friends. And I know our podcast is, you know, it's going places. But Shauna, we're talking like, I think it was like a Kardashian in one episode. There's Reese Witherspoon in one episode. I don't even know. I haven't watched all the episodes, but
okay.
We're not talking podcast celebrities.
Fine. Okay. Carry on.
So they were organizing Reese Witherspoon's closet, and then I was like, I need to organize my closet. I was so frustrated by the fact that, like, you know, my belly is growing and a lot of my clothes don't fit. And I was like, I just need to take everything out and figure out what fits and donate what doesn't and store what will eventually fit again, but like what doesn't mm-hmm. right now. Cause I'm so sick of like going through my closet and like pulling out something and then realizing like, oh no, that has a stain. Oh no, that doesn't fit. Like, oh no, you know, it's just such mm-hmm. a. Ugh. And with the nesting instinct, it's just like on overdrive. So
yeah.
There was one nap time this week where I was just like, this is going to happen. I uh-huh. pulled all my hanging clothes out, which actually isn't a lot. Like, I don't have that much clothing, I don't think. Mm-hmm. So I was able to organize it. But yeah, I'm feeling it mm-hmm. everywhere. It's the baby.
Good.
It's making me do it.
So what are you doing nesting wise in terms of baby stuff? Anything yet? Like, are you thinking about nursery where you're gonna put the other baby?
Well, this is a bigger problem.
Yeah, because you only have two bedrooms in your house.
Yeah, and one of them is occupied by my son and one of them is mm-hmm. occupied by me and Corey. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a problem. So we're still kind of in limbo about whether we might maybe look for a different house. The clock is ticking on that. Mm-hmm. So I haven't really done much as far as nesting for the actual baby because I can't really. There's not much to be done until we make mm-hmm. a decision one way or another, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think what I'm, in my mind, the way this is working is like I'm optimizing my storage space as is so that I will like create space for the baby stuff to come back in.
Okay.
You know? Because right now we're kind of packed to the gills mm-hmm. and we need to pare down because we're, you know, you add a lot of stuff with another human and all the baby crap mm-hmm. that comes with them. So my sort of nesting instinct is about organizing the house first and then not okay. like not necessarily making the nursery for the baby, which is what happened last time. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you recall the day I spontaneously took everything out of my pantry, like all my canned goods, all my dry foods, everything, and just like reorganized the whole damn thing. I think I was about this much pregnant at the time. Yeah.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it's about the outer order, inner calm, I think. Mm-hmm. And then the baby stuff won't be such a big imposition, right? Because, like, I've actually made space. That's the theory.
Okay. That makes sense.
Okay. But anyway, it did feel good, I have to say.
That's good. Yay. So what's going on with your toddler this week? How's he doing?
He's good. He's 21 months. And the big thing over here is that the playgrounds are finally open again in our area.
Ooh, awesome.
Which I have been waiting for. You know, people have different opinions. We don't want to get too much into it. But right now we're still in the pandemic. If you're listening to this years in advance. Mm-hmm. And our playgrounds have been closed for six full months. No swings, mm-hmm. no slides, nothing. Like, they've been cordoned off with police tape, essentially.
Like a crime scene.
Basically. And then some of them have been so bad that people have been taking down the tape. So they put up like chain link fence around one near us.
Whoa,
so it was a big deal for them to reopen. And I felt okay with taking him because, you know, for my own risk tolerance and that what I know about surface spread, etc. Yada, yada. Anyway, for our family, I was cool with it. And oh my God, this toddler is going full force on these playgrounds. Like, first of all, he and the swings have been apart for 6 months. He hasn't been on any swings because don't have one. And, you know, we had nowhere to put one in our backyard either. So 6 months of no swings. And it was like true love being reunited. Mm-hmm. He was so happy. He wants to spend like a half hour on the swings. And then he's getting really adventurous with the play structures, which is really cool because 6 months ago when, you know, they were still open, he really wasn't good at climbing yet. You know, he was 15 months. He had been started walking around 12 months, but when they're 15 months, they're still kind of, well, at least he was kind of like iffy on their feet, you know,
wobbly,
lots of falling over, lots of bonks. But now he's way more assured. And so now that he has the opportunity to climb on things that are like much safer than climbing up the back of the couch, what he's been trying to do, he's getting really adventurous. And it's really fun to watch. So like he climbs up all the stairs all by himself, you know, holding on to the railing. And then he's up high and he loves being up high. And then he goes down the slide. And the fun thing, that the last thing I'll talk about, is that some of these slides have like a bar at the top for the kids to like help them shimmy down onto their butts, right? And he is just hanging off of them like a monkey. Like feet off the ground. It's so cute. And he's so excited and so happy to be doing it. And it just is like filling my heart with joy. And
fun.
My parenting with joy, because it's making life easier, you know? Yeah, just having something else to do. So we are hitting those playgrounds hard.
Do you think he's working out his climbing needs now at the playground and will be less dangerous at home?
I hope so. I really, really hope so. You know, we were having a lot of struggles with him trying to climb on the back of the couch and onto the console table and stuff. So I'm hoping this gets that climbing urge out. Because, you know, he's just on a circuit. He'll like climb up, 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 go down the slide and come right back around and do it, you know, over and over and over. Yeah. So, and it makes him more tired. Oh, it's so awesome.
Oh, yes. That is the best.
So I'm so glad to have him tired out. Because you guys have like a little play structure in your yard.
Oh, yes. We have play structure, multiple swings, swing ladders, rope swings. I mean, we have so much because, yeah, we haven't been going to the park and I need these girls to exercise. It's so crucial and it's a fun outlet for them. So I'm so happy that you guys are able to go and do that again.
Me too.
Yay.
So yeah, that's very fun. But that's about it this week. I've just been organizing my closet and just going to the park all the damn time.
Sounds like an A+ week to me. I couldn't think of anything better.
I agree. I'm happy this week, but I want to hear what's going on with you this week, Shauna. How old is that toddler of yours?
Cece's 22 months and 1 week. And oh my God, it was just another roller coaster of a week for our family. I started the week feeling shitty, basically. all of a sudden I had like a headache and like muscle aches and fatigue, massive fatigue. And that didn't bother me too much. Uh-huh. But Steve is a little more concerned about COVID and was immediately like, you need to go in your room and rest and get a COVID test right away and et cetera. And so I did. It came back negative, by the way.
I figure you would have told me.
Yeah.
I figure we wouldn't be recording if you had COVID this week.
I know, right? Clearly I've recovered since then. The good news about that is that I got a day of rest, basically, because he was like, yeah, you go in your room, I will do everything for the girls. And he brought me dinner, which was amazing wonton soup that my neighbor had given me that like the day before, because my neighbors are amazing. So it was nice to rest and relax, but I'm also sometimes too uptight to just relax and let go. I feel so guilty, so guilty. And I always push through, always, almost always, unless I'm really, really sick. I would rather just push through and do things and take care of stuff. So it's hard to relax.
Mm-hmm. So do you mean you were literally just like quarantined in your room for a day?
Yes. For a day.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Did they like bring food to the door and like leave it for you? That sort of thing?
Steve brought a tray of food in to me, but he was wearing a mask when he did. That was before my COVID test. So I get it. I mean, yeah, who knows?
Yeah, caution's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
I will have to say, that sounds a little bit like a dream to me.
I know. I shouldn't be complaining at all. I'm mostly just complaining that I couldn't fully relax, like I felt mm-hmm. guilty. And of course, I didn't feel well, so that's not fun. But I did get to watch a lot of TV and read on my phone and just be uninterrupted, which is so rare these days. So that was a low point. And then the next day, I was feeling better. My test came back negative. And guess who used her potty for the first time ever?
Oh, I'm gonna guess. Let's see. I'm guessing it was Cece.
It was. I wasn't there for it. I was doing something in the bedroom. And
oh, really?
Yeah, Steve came out. He's like, Cece used the potty. And Elle was so excited. And like everyone was joyful and excited because I talked last week that she was starting to show an interest. Uh-huh, like, right? Yeah. She actually kind of hesitantly sat on it. And this week, she sat on it more confidently. She learned how to lift her leg over that bump. And she actually like fully went pee. So we were thrilled, right? And she was like, you guys calm down. This is no fucking big deal.
Was she already diaperless? Like, how did that work? Or was it like a thing where Steve helped her out?
It was just before bath time.
Oh,
and,
I see.
You know, so yeah, I was like, so sometimes she'll kind of check out her potty before bath time when she's naked, and she just kind of did it this time. So we were all overjoyed, and she didn't care so much. But for, you know, I think it's a step for her, because she's really gone on a journey with the potty stuff, right? She just hated it, was so scared of that thing, and then slowly warming up to it, now did this. So it's not like we're starting potty training or anything, because I still want her to show more interest and really mm-hmm. follow her lead. So she's done it a couple times, and yeah, I think she's on her way. So I'll probably have more updates about this journey as we continue on in the following weeks.
Yeah, as you know, we're like a couple weeks in ourselves and it's going mm-hmm. well. So, but you know, it's a journey. Like you said, I see these books as like potty train in 3 days. And I'm sort of like, really? Like, what does that mean? Because it doesn't seem like it's really a 3 day process. It's a transition. It's a gradient from diapers into no diapers.
It is. And it's a huge transition for them. I don't know if I've said this before, but I read somewhere like you have to be aware that their whole life they've gotten comfortable with the feeling mm-hmm. of going to the bathroom in their diaper. Like that's what it feels like to them. So it's so strange to do it a different way. And they have to get used to that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah. So that was like a high point. And then the next day. Put her down for bed at her nap, and she just refused. Like, she just did not sleep. And that messed up the day, because usually that nap is my break. I let Elle watch TV, Cece naps, and I get stuff done, right? Like, we record or I do work or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do I do with a toddler that doesn't nap? It was crazy. And I was like, it's okay. It's probably just a little phase. The next day, the same thing happened. And I'm just like, oh my God, is this where we're at now? And you start thinking like, oh my God, is she giving up naps? Are we going to no naps?
No, 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 no. Way too early. Stop it. Don't even say that.
She's so insistent and demanding. Like, I feel like if she was like, I'm ready to quit napping, there's nothing I could do to stop her. And she really likes to be like her big sister who hasn't napped in ages.
Yeah.
So I'm like kind of freaking out about it a little bit because I really need her to nap.
Yeah. I mean, could this be tied into the sleep regression stuff you've been talking about?
Oh, yes. I forgot she's also been having super early wake-ups.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so those have kind of gotten better, you know, for a week or so. And now it's like the regression is rearing its ugly head at noon every day.
Well, I really hope it's just sort of like a blip, like a little regression, or who knows what's maybe her teeth are bothering her, or maybe she's just so excited by the potty idea or something.
Oh, yeah. Maybe she's going through some kind of leap, like a cognitive leap.
Yeah, because isn't that a thing where they say that whenever they sort of learn a new skill, sometimes it messes with their sleep?
Yes, yes, that's right. So if she's coming around to the potty, which is a huge new skill, that could be part of why that's happening. That makes sense.
What? Click. It all comes together.
It does. Yes, it all makes sense. Let's just hope it doesn't persist. Because mama needs her break. And I know she needs more sleep because she's tired and upset.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's hard to miss that middle of the day sleep.
Well, and I think it's way too early to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that there's a lot of kids who would just drop it if you let them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's why you got to be the parent and be like, nope, not going to happen.
Yes. And the way I'm doing that is just putting her down again the next day. Like, we haven't been fighting her resistance. It's not like we're like, we're going to keep trying. You're going to sleep today, because she won't let that happen. She'll scream and she's just, it's just too much. So it's just like, okay, too bad. Like, too bad for us. Okay, go on with your day. So hopefully if we just keep the routine going, she'll eventually be like, okay, I need to get back to sleeping during the day. So fingers crossed.
Okay, fingers crossed. We will look forward to that update.
Yeah, but that's been pretty much our roller coaster of a week, but it's ending more or less okay.
Okay, good. We like roller coasters.
Yeah.
We talked about roller coasters in my special segment last week. Throwback.
Oh, we did. Speaking of throwback, I think we have another one today.
I think we do. So let's take a quick break and then let's come back with our special segment because I'm dying to hear your story.
Okay. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP. And we're back. So our special segment again this week is throwback, because last week you got to hear my story from the mid-90s. And this week we get to hear Shauna's 90s story that I'm very excited to hear.
Throwing it back to the 90s. I'm excited to share.
Okay. So let's dive in.
Okay. Funnily enough, it also was 1995.
Ooh.
Yes. I, however, was 17 at the time. And I just started my senior year in high school in Phoenix, Arizona. And it was like the fall semester, right? So the beginning of the year, and like things were fun and great and just feeling good about myself, going to football games, had a lot of friends at that point. It was just a great start for the senior year.
It sounds very wholesome. Like, it sounds very like... like a high school TV show. I was going to football games. I had friends.
Yes, it kind of was. Yeah, in a way. And I fit the mold for a character in that show. And because I just like was very goody two shoes. I was a perfectionist. I always just tried my hardest to please everyone. I was a straight A student. And one of the things I had a lot of perfectionism about was my hair. which mm-hmm. was long, blonde, think like, was it Kelly Taylor on 90210? Like, you know, the girl with just like the really long straight blonde hair. I had envisioned it for a long time because I had a bad perm I had to grow out of. And I finally had like this nice hair that I really loved and took pride in. Now, this hair of mine was just 100% virgin. It had never been colored. I had never been to a salon for a haircut ever. I'd never gotten a professional haircut. My mom trimmed my hair for my whole life. Like, I would sit on the bathroom counter and she would take her shears and just cut a straight line straight across the back. And that was it for my whole life. So
so this perm that was growing out, that was a home perm, I take it?
Oh, God, yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes. It was a home perm. So one day I am out shopping with my friend Corrine. We were at Target, and right next to Target was a little strip mall, which strip malls, I'm sure in Fresno or just like Phoenix, fucking everywhere, right? Everything is just like in a strip mall.
Oh, yeah. And, mall nation. Yes.
Yes. So right next door to the Target was a Payless shoe store. And so we went over there and we're looking through. I get like some chunky heels, whatever, to go with my baby tee and my short skirt.
I forgot about the chunky heels, which I think are back.
Maybe.
I like them
better because I don't fall over in them so easily. Like, I love a chunky heel. So we finish our shopping and walk outside of Payless in front of the strip mall. And we are approached by a very tall, somewhat dirty looking gentleman. And like dirty, like he looked like he'd been wearing his clothes for a few days. Just kind of, I don't know, there was something just kind of like grungy about him. I guess grunge was in back then.
It was very in back then.
Yeah. But, you know, definitely a different style from me and Corrine, but very friendly. He like came over, he's like, "Hey girls, you're looking like really beautiful. Look, oh my God, look at your hair." And he like touches my hair. He's like, "Beautiful hair." And he touches Corrine's hair. And he's like, "Gosh, you girls are just gorgeous." And we're like, "What is going on? This is unusual and creepy."
Yeah.
And then he's like, "Hey, do you want a haircut?" And we're like, no. But he's like, you know, that's what I'm thinking in a way.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Come on over. I work at the salon two businesses down from Payless Shoe Store. It's called Supercuts," which if you don't have Supercuts in your area, it's like Great Clips, Fantastic Sam, you know, just like a quick in and out joint. I don't get the impression that people who've been styling hair, you know, for fashion shows.
It's not a prestige place to hang your cosmetic license.
That's a nice way of saying it. Yeah. You know, here I am, totally goody two shoes, hate disappointing people. And he asks if I want to go over and get a haircut in his salon. And I'm like, "Okay, sure, why not?" And Corrine is like, "No, thank you, but I'll come with you." And so Corrine and I follow this guy. I think his name was like Keith or something. We walk over to this Supercuts, and it was kind of almost glorious in a way, even though it was like a basic lower level haircut place. Because I never got my hair cut in a place like this. It was like racks of shampoos and, you know, the seats and the mirrors and the chairs that go up. And so I started to get kind of excited. And when I get excited, this is a pattern about me, I do get impulsive. And at that point, I was like, hell yes. This is going to make my senior year. I am going to have a cool new haircut. It's like going to be the new Shauna, basically.
Yeah, so brand new. Yes, well, and yes. Anything seems fancy when you've spent your entire life getting your hair cut on the bathroom counter.
Yes, right. And I kind of was under the impression that he was offering me a free haircut, like the way he solicited, like he needed practice or something. Mm-hmm. And so I've always had a hard time passing up free things, especially back then. So I was very into this idea at this point. And so I sit in the chair and he like puts the drape on me. And he's like, "Well, what do you want to do with your hair?" And he's like playing with the hair. He's like, "This is so pretty." And I'm like, "I don't know. I've never had a cut other than a straight line across the bottom of my hair." And I was thinking to myself, I'd heard stories of like, you know, you go into the salon, you just leave your hair in the hands of the professional and they just do what they think looks good on you. And you turn out gorgeous. So I was like, well,
I mean, that's like in every movie, right? when there's a makeover. You and sit down in this lawn chair and they spin you around. And the next thing you know, you have this amazing hair and you walk out like a new person.
And like everyone's jaw drops and they're like, zing. Yeah. So I thought that was going to happen. And he's like, what about the Rachel? And
if you don't recall, everyone wanted the Rachel.
Everyone wanted the Rachel. The show, the show Friends.
The Friends.
The six friends. That's
did you know there was a show? It was called The Friends.
There was?
It's about three men and three women, and they're all friends.
Friends. It was Friends. Yes, it was
Friends. I have heard of this
show. I'm so sorry to confuse. You know, with Ross, Chandler, Joey, Rachel, Monica, and Phoebe. Okay, yes. Huge into that. I never missed an episode. Rachel is absolutely gorgeous and cool.
Are you a Rachel, a Phoebe, or a Monica?
Probably more of a Monica personality-wise, you know?
Yeah.
A little more uptight. Rachel's just so popular and beautiful and, you know, I never dated anybody, so. And I wasn't as kooky as Phoebe.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. What about you?
I mean, I think it was probably between Phoebe and Monica, like if they had a love child. You know?
I could see that.
I definitely had a lot of Monica's type A personality, but I definitely aspired to Phoebe's like free spiritedness, especially in that era. Oh. I wanted to like be a hippie and stuff, you know? So
that's interesting. Mm-hmm. See, I definitely wanted to be Rachel because I just thought she was just pretty and just like what I wanted to be, basically.
Everyone wanted to be Rachel. There's a reason Jennifer Aniston became a huge star.
Yes, right? She's just like so cute and charismatic. And this Supercuts haircut was my chance to embody this.
Yes, it was.
And so I'm like, go for it. Just go for it. And he starts cutting and I am instantly panicked. I'm like, what? Why is so much hair getting cut off of my head? And he's like, honey, don't worry. This cut is all about the layers. This is just the top layer. It's short on top because it gives it oomph and volume. Va-voom. That's what you need with the Rachel. And I'm like, okay. He's like, don't worry, honey. We're going to keep the length. I can tell you want your length. I'll keep the length. I'm like, okay. Got to trust the professional. He knows what he's doing. This Keith. Guy in filthy jeans.
Yeah, got to trust Keith. Keith knows what he's doing.
Keith knows. So he cuts. I'm just watching like these 8-inch strands of hair fall from my head. And Corrine's just like, okay, cool. And so he finishes cutting and he busts out this device that I've never seen before, which was like a blow dryer with one of those brushes on the end. And I'm like, what is that? And he's like, honey, this is what's going to give you the volume, and starts styling my hair. He's like, this is how you get the Rachel. And, you know, just styling it and puffing it up and using this thing like a wand. And this is way more complicated than I've ever done with my hair, ever. And he finishes, and I look at myself in the mirror, and I see these short layers around my face that are kind of like puffed up and just kind of like, you know, landing on my chin. And I was like, oh my God, this does not look like Rachel at all. At all. I was so disappointed. And then he goes, okay, well, look at the back. And he turns me around and gives me a mirror. And he kept the length all right. But what he had done is somehow trimmed it down into this weird layered V shape. Like it got real, real skinny down the back of my back. And I was like thinking to myself, oh my God, it looks like a rat tail or something. Like it just looked so weird and not like Rachel. But I'm uber polite. And I'm like, oh my God, I love it. And inside I'm dying. And he's like, okay, that's $20. And I'm like, what? You fucker, I thought this was free. Whatever. So I pay him and I'm just like, Corrine, we got to get out of here. And we drive to my house. Corrine comes with me and Corrine and I come into the door and I start bawling. I mean, aww. I break down emotionally like I never have in my life. Like I lost a family member. Seriously, I was like, oh my God, my hair. My mom comes running up. She's like, what's wrong? I'm like, my hair. I've got this rat tail. I look like some kind of biker chick. Like, I look so like, what has happened? And she's like, it looks cute. And, you know, she's trying to be so sweet. And like, it just, you look so pretty and fashionable. You look just like Rachel. I'm like, I don't fucking look like Rachel. You know, I never cuss in front of my parents, right? I'm like, I don't look like fucking Rachel. And I just sink down. I remember this. I have our entryway had two walls that were covered in like paneled mirroring because it was the 90s. And I just sink down in the corner of these mirrors, which is like showing my Rachel haircut from every single fucking angle.
It's like infinite Rachel haircuts.
Infinite Rachel haircuts. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. My senior year. Now I look like this rat tail biker. It just like looked like a mullet, but it was just horrible. And my mom, she's so sweet. She's like, I can fix it. I'm like, really? You can fix it? She's like, I can fix it. Come here. And she brings me in. I sit on the bathroom counter. And she takes her scissors and like does what she knows best. She just like cuts a straight line and cuts that fucking rat tail right off. Now, rat tail I know is like a hairdo that's like a very skinny kind of little ponytail or braid down the back. But that's what this felt like to me. It really was just a very sharp cascading V down to like my mid back, right? So I call it this. And she just goes, takes those scissors and goes, sip, 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 cuts a straight line. The fucker is gone. And I was like, thank you. Thank you so much. I still had to contend with the horrific layers around my face, which I had no clue how to style. I mean, it was, I just had a hair disaster for the rest of the year. And it was extremely. Literally no one looked at me and had their jaw drop at how beautiful I was. No one was like, you look like Rachel, except my mom, who tried to make me feel better. So it was horrible. And I just will never, ever forget that haircut and how my mom saved the day, right? She just like came in. She was like, I can fix that. Snip, snip, snip. And so I think what I take with me is being accepting of whatever weird impulsive choices your kids make.
Yeah. Yeah, because so easily your mom could have been like, what did you do to your beautiful hair? You know, like lots of moms might have said that.
Yeah. And even if she did say that just out of like shock, I'm not left with any memories of like shame or, you know, like that was not the overarching feeling from that experience. It was, you look beautiful. And then I can help you. That's kind of like what I was talking about in another episode recently. It's like, I can help you. Let me help.
Yeah.
So I just love that. I love that she just stepped in and did her best to try to help. So I hope I can be that way with my girls whenever they, whatever they do with their hair, and their clothes and stuff, is just like, accept it and help when needed.
Well, and also recognizing that it's hair. You know, it's not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. But it's such a quintessential mom move. I love the like, just come here. I will fix everything for you. Because that's what you, when you're having trouble, that's what you want your mom to do, right? You want your mom to say, don't worry. Everything's fine. I got this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's cute. Here, let's like try to volumize the the layers. And it's just, that's just so sweet. And it reminds me, you know, I'm so clueless about hair, right? I go into my mom's bathroom one day soon after this, and I see like a very pretty aerosol can sitting on the counter, and it says hair freshener. And I'm like, oh my God, hair freshener. Like, I've never heard of that. That's the best invention I've ever heard. Like, your hair stinks at the end of the day. You freshen up your hair. I flip my hair over. I start going, just like putting this shit all in my hair. My mom comes in. She's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm using your hair freshener. It smells so good. It's like, Shauna, that says air freshener. Air. A-I-R. I'm like, that makes more sense.
I feel like what you don't realize is that you just invented dry shampoo.
Right? I totally did. Should have acted on that one. I've always, like, I always, ever since that day, I was like, man, someone should invent hair freshener.
I mean, they have. Dry shampoo.
Yep. It came about. It came about. I put that idea out into the universe and someone snatched it up. But, you know, she's so funny. She's so sweet. It's just like, that's air freshener. And then we both laugh about it.
That is really funny.
So anyway, that's my hair saga. And partially why I like never do much dramatic with my hair ever again.
You've learned your lesson.
I learned my lesson. Anyway, that's it for my throwback. I think we should probably move on to our BFPs and BFNs. Yeah?
I think we should. Yeah. Okay. Sounds good.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners, this episode is proudly brought to you by L'Olivie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With L'Olivie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter L'Olivie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at L'Olivie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
L'Olivie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at L'Olivie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at L-O-L-A-V-I-E.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
We're back and we're going to wrap things up with our weekly big fat positives and big fat negatives. Laura, what do you got for us this week?
I've got a BFP.
Yay.
Yay. So mine, we're back to products this
Good.
Week.
Good. Fun.
My BFP this week is the Thermos Funtainer.
Ooh.
Do you
okay,
know about
what's
this?
That? No.
It's a thermos for kids. It's a thermos okay. for toddlers.
Like that you put soup in. That's what I think of thermos that I used in my lunchbox.
No, it's actually specifically not for hot liquids, they say. It's just a straw cup. It's a insulated straw cup, mm-hmm. and it's 12 ounces, and it's made by the brand Thermos. It's not, because I feel like Thermos is kind of like Xerox, right? It's like a What's the term for that? You know, the term for...
There's other examples like Kleenex, Band-Aid. It's not the name of the actual product, but we associate it with the product.
Yes. It's like when a whole category of items has taken on a specific brand name.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. I'm going to look it up because this is going to bother me. Yeah. All right. Well, apparently I thought it had a more interesting name. Like I found like proprietary eponyms or genericisms, but...
Okay.
But anyway, it's like Band-Aid, Coke... Oh, Escalator. Escalator is like an actual brand name. Anyway.
What?
I didn't know that.
So Escalator is a brand of moving staircase.
I guess.
Oh, the things we learn on this show.
Right. Anyway, so but this is an actual thermos.
Okay.
I got mine for $15 from Target, and they have them on Amazon and all other places too. So it's just like an insulated straw cup for kids, and it has like a cap that like pops open.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little button and it just pops open.
Mm.
And I got it because we had been using those Munchkin cups where you can like kind of hold them anyway. They have like the weighted straw at the bottom. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Not the 360s, but the, I don't know. I know what you mean though, the weighted straw at the bottom.
Yeah, it's like you can hold it any angle and they get the liquid out of it. And that had been like our cup of choice. But he was like drinking the water too fast, basically. I think it holds 6 ounces in there. And it was kind of a pain in the butt to constantly be refilling it. Mm-hmm. And it leaked out a lot too. If the top wasn't totally closed, like if there's any kind of heat difference between what's inside of the cup and outside, it would like start leaking out. So I just decided it was time to get something a little bit more advanced, and I got this one, and I thought it might be a little hard for him because it's just straight on the sides. Like it doesn't have any contouring, it doesn't have any handles, but I have to say that he's doing really well and he freaking loves it. Like loves it so much that I got a blue, like a plain blue one, and he's been like asking for it every time. So like every day it was like blue thermos. And I was like, okay, well, I'll just have to get another one because want is the thermos. And then I saw they had a Star Wars one at Target.
Oh,
so
baby.
I did my Target same day pickup and I got, it has like BB-8 and R2-D2 on it. And now he like is like BB-8. And the way he says R2-D2 is like, doesn't really work. Very cute.
That's cute.
But yeah, I just wanted to put it out there as an option because I feel like it has really helped and he really loves it. He loves being able to pop the top open himself, feels very independent, and it gets more liquid, you know, just like allows you to go places with more. And it's more sleek than the other cups. Like it doesn't take up as much width of a space. So you can kind of stick it in your bag a little easier.
Oh,
so,
nice. Yeah.
Thermos Funtainer. There's a 12 ounce and I think there's a bigger one, but we do the 12 ounce.
Okay.
Because I think the bigger one is a little hard. Like 12, if you fill it all the way up, it is a little heavy for the kids. So, because it's metal, you know, but.
I love that it has a pop thing. That's really cool. We have tons of water bottles, mostly because Elle used to have to take them to preschool and stuff. And a lot of them are the straw bends down and then they have to use their thumb to like push it up and open. And yes. Cece's getting a lot better at that. But yeah, that's kind of tricky for a toddler who's our kid's age, for sure.
Yeah. And the button is very fun. Like he's just very into it. And it also has this little hanging hook. So you can like carry it around by the little handle or you can clip it. Like I always have a carabiner on my diaper bag backpack so I can like clip it into the carabiner. So yeah.
Genius. They thought of everything.
I know. And there's a reason. I mean, if you look online, it has like a million reviews. So, and you better believe I spent like an hour researching the best cup for toddlers. So
Oh my God. What do you think our parents did with their time besides obsessively researching children's items? They must have just had so much time on their hands. I'm kind of jealous.
Yeah, my mom definitely had a lot of time on her hands as a doctor heading up a bunch of committees.
That's what she did. She headed up committees. Meanwhile, we're like, best thermos, best play mat, best.
Oh, boy. No wonder she's always rolling her eyes at me.
Yes.
Anyway, so that's my BFP for the week. Shauna, do you have a BFP or a BFN?
BFP.
Yay.
So someone in one of my mom's groups recently shared a quote or a resource, something. I don't remember what it was specifically, but it was from a woman named Dr. Becky. Her Instagram handle and what she goes by is Dr. Becky at Home. So okay. She is a clinical psychologist. Let me actually read a sentence of her bio so you know what I'm talking about here.
Okay.
Dr. Becky is a clinical psychologist, consultant, and parenting guidance provider. So she helps people cope with anxiety and stress of being a parent and specializes in helping individuals manage the challenges of being a working parent. So, of course, that speaks to me. Mm-hmm. She has a PhD in clinical psychology from Columbia University, et cetera, et cetera. So she, to me, is a very educated resource on parenting. And mm-hmm. the vibe of what someone shared in the mom's group was very Janet Lansbury-esque, but not wry, right? Her mm-hmm. perspective is all her own. It comes from clinical psychology, and it's about respecting your children, how to understand their outbursts, how to set boundaries for yourself and accept that that's okay. And so I went to her Instagram page and she's just so wonderful. She shares really wise advice. She's very real. Her Instagram stories are sometimes like when she's right out of the shower and has wet hair, or, you know, there's just nothing showy about her at all. She's all mm-hmm. about sharing good advice. And what I really love about her Instagram stories is she puts basically what she's saying in big text at the bottom of each story, because I'm not someone who really listens to a lot of Instagram stories for whatever reason. I don't want to alert my kids to the fact I have my phone on, right? They would come running over and be like, what's that?
Yeah, you can't turn the audio on because then the kids are going to come over and be like, I want to watch.
Yes, yeah, so that's brilliant that she even does that, right? So I can get the gist of what she's saying.
Well, and it's also great from an accessibility point of view.
Oh, like, perfect.
Not everyone
yes.
is hearing, so mm-hmm. awesome. Good for her.
Good for her. I love it. And she has her stories broken down into all these different categories and just really helpful, useful advice. And one thing I've read recently that I found very helpful was she was talking about setting boundaries as a parent, just in your own life with external things. Like, do you want to say yes to being on the PTA if you have a lot of other stuff going on in your life, and setting boundaries with your kids, right? Mm-hmm. No, you can't. No, I have to work right now. And one of the things is learning to be okay with that and then learning to tolerate other people's disappointment in that. Mm-hmm. And so that's mm-hmm. huge for me because I like pleasing other people. I really, really hate disappointing others, even if it's my own kids or my, you know, it's like if I say no to something and my kid's like, oh my God, I'm like, oh my God, my heart hurts. And mm-hmm. ever since I read this advice from her, I'm trying to stick with my boundary, take a deep breath and think I am not responsible for her disappointment, her feeling, her reaction to the boundary. Mm-hmm. I know I'm setting a perfectly normal boundary and she's allowed to react how she wants to react. And I can be calm and accepting of that. So I'm getting better at that, I think.
Ooh, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
So Dr. Becky at Home?
Dr. Becky at Home. I just love her advice. It's, like I said, very wry feeling, but it's not mm-hmm. the wry philosophy. So some things you might not have learned from Janet Lansbury or Magda Gerber.
Like wry adjacent.
Yeah, I think it's Rye Jason, and it's just a
cousin.
Yes, it's a distant cousin. No, it's a very close. It's a first cousin.
Once removed.
Yeah. It's a great tool and resource to have in your arsenal as a parent, and especially if toddlers and their big feelings and their mm-hmm. outbursts, and she has advice on what's going on with the toddlers psychologically and how to deal with that. So I suggest everyone go follow Dr. Becky at Home.
I'm going to do that today.
Yeah. Well, I think that is it for our show. Should we wrap things up?
I think we should.
Thank you guys all so much for listening. If you guys have any fun throwback stories of your own that are perhaps influencing the way you parent now, we would love to hear them. This has become one of our favorite segments. And of course, we want to hear from you. Laura, where can everyone reach us?
We are on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. We have a website, bigfatpositivepodcast.com. If you want to send us an email, you can include a voice memo in that email for bonus points to contact@bigfatpositivepodcast.com. And finally, join our Facebook community group. It's a private group. Just search Big Fat Positive Community, request to join. Please answer the 2 membership questions, and that way we can get you right through to the amazing conversations we're having in there.
If you love our show, please remember to rate and review us wherever you listen. We appreciate that so much. And spread the word. Let your friends know about Big Fat Positive. Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Have a wonderful week, everyone. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.